spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
They are no but Israel, all Israel, Israel.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program was written by Sylvia Berger. This summer, Rebecca Kohut, social worker, educator, and writer, died at the age of 87. This story, The Woman Rich in Time, is dedicated to her memory. A short time ago, around the corner, there lived a little girl who was loved by her mother. Everybody else found her as welcome as a mosquito bite. Because she asked too many questions. Merrilla asked so many questions, in fact, that even her own mother sometimes wished she were a little puffy instead.
Mother?
Yes, Merrilla?
Mother, why is rain wet?
Because it's made of water.
Well, where does the rain get the water?
It gets it in the clouds.
Where do the clouds get the water?
They get them from the ocean.
Well, where does the ocean get the water?
From the rain.
But, Mother...
What is it, Merrilla?
Well, if the ocean gets the water from the rain, and the rain gets the water from the clouds, and the clouds get the water from the ocean, and the ocean gets the water from the rain, then why, Mother?
Why, Mother? Why, Mother? I don't know why, Mother. I never asked, and I was never told. Now, pick up a towel and dry the silver spoons before you get a slap that you'll remember.
But as Merrilla picked up a towel to dry the silver spoon, she said...
Mother?
Yes, Merrilla?
Mother, why will I remember this slap more than the slap you gave me yesterday?
Now, anyone smart enough to have two ears can tell you that a man who asks too many questions is like a dog with fleas. You don't dare get too close to him, lest some come off on you. But no one had told that to Merrilla, so she went on asking questions. She asked long questions, sharp questions, dull questions with an answer, questions without an answer.
How deep is the blink of an eye?
Clever questions, useless questions.
Who has seen tomorrow come?
And just plain silly questions. But sometimes, when she had asked the question from the very marrow of her very heart, it seemed to Merrilla that she heard the whisper of golden wings. And then she knew that she was about to be given an answer. But at that very moment, a leaf might fall or a clock would tick, and she wouldn't hear the answer after all. And so the years grew, and Merrilla grew with them, until the time came when she herself had become a mother, and it was her turn to answer questions.
Why, Mother?
Because all good little children go to bed at this time. Now kiss Mother goodnight.
Sing the song.
David, I've already sung it three times.
Just once more.
All right. Just once more and then goodnight. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T,
U, V, W, X, Y, Z,
X, Y, Z. Oh, dear me, how shall I learn my ABC? Up to the ceiling, down to the
floor.
Right to the
window.
Left to the
door. Just one more, Mother. Just one more.
No, more now, David. We'll sing more tomorrow. Now you have to go to sleep, darling. Good night, son.
Good night, Mother. Mother?
What is it, David?
I want to ask a question.
What question do you want to ask?
Does it hurt a tomato when you bite it?
No, darling. It does not hurt a tomato when you bite it. Good night, David.
Good night, Mother.
What words are there to describe the love of a mother for her child? A mother sweetens with the love of her child as the warm earth sweetens with the summer sun. Her days are like days in a flowering orchard. Her nights are honeyed with contentment. Such were the days and nights of Merrilla. And then one blackened hour, a visitor came into her home, and the visitor's name was Death. And Death took the son of Merrilla. And the sun in the sky burned black, and the black of the night burned with fires as Merrilla wandered in search of Death. But Death would not be found, and Merrilla prayed for her time to end. And one night, when she was not so young anymore that she had not seen the leaves fall from the trees, Merrilla woke up with the biggest question she had ever asked. Merrilla sat up in bed and she cried,
"What time is it? What time is it? What time is it? What time is it now in my life? Why won't time end for me?"
And then it seemed to Merrilla that she heard the whisper of golden wings. But at that very moment, the ears of night turned deaf, the mouth of night turned dumb, and she heard the thunder of her empty heart. Merrilla was persuaded to go to a doctor. And the doctor said, "You must try to eat more, Merrilla. Rest, good food."
"Is there a food, doctor, that cannot be eaten by death?"
And she went to another doctor, and he said, "You must try to get some rest, Merrilla. Rest, sleep."
"Is there a sleep longer than the sleep of death?"
There was no doctor who could answer Merrilla's questions. And then they told her of a woman rich in time, and they said that surely she would have the answers to Merrilla's questions. And Merrilla came to Rebecca Cohut.
"Sit down, Merrilla."
Merrilla sat down.
"Forgive me for asking you to come to my bed, Merrilla, but I've not been able to leave it for a few years."
Merrilla raised her eyes.
"One gets a little tired at 86.
Merrilla looked at the frosted hair, the head lowered with time.
"Tell me how I can help you, Merrilla."
And Merrilla was ashamed. But still she had to ask, and she asked her question.
"What is stronger than death?"
And she waited until Rebecca Cohut spoke.
"When we were children, we played beside our mother's knee. But when I was 7, my mother died, and every afternoon my brother Felix and I would go to her grave on Shuckle Hill to play our games."
"Pepper, salt, mustard, cider, how many bullets killed the tiger? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60,
you 70. Missed. You missed.
I did not.
You did too. You said 30, 60, 50.
I did not. I said 30, 40, 50.
I guess I don't want to play numbers anymore."
"Why not?"
"I guess I want to play something else."
"You want to climb the walnut tree?"
"No."
"Do you want to play store?"
"Let's play store."
"All right. Now, these leaves must be a dozen eggs. And this stick is a yard of calico. And you must come into my store and ask for a yard of calico. And I must tell
you... I want to ask you for a saddle."
"All right. This little bit of grass must be a saddle. Now, you come in and ask..."
"Ma'am?" "Hello, Miss Schwartz."
"Rebecca Bettelheim, what are you doing? And you, Felix?"
"We're playing, ma'am."
"We're playing, Miss Schwartz." "Playing in a cemetery?"
"Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am."
"Playing right beside your mother's grave?"
"Yes, ma'am. Yes, Miss Schwartz."
Aren't you ashamed, Rebecca?
No, ma'am.
No, Miss Schwartz.
We always play near our mother, Miss Schwartz.
We like to play near our mother, Miss Schwartz.
And this time Rebecca Kohut waited to see whether Marilla had found her answer. But all Marilla said was,
"What happened to you then?"
"I grew up." "Oh, not the way a songbird grows, Marilla. Not the way a lily grows in the field. My father, you know, was a rabbi. I'm afraid that I sometimes find it rather a trial to be a rabbi's daughter, especially at mealtimes."
Rebecca?
Yes, Father?
Mrs. Schwartz is ready for more potatoes, Rebecca.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Schwartz. Will you have more potatoes?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Felix?
Yes, Father?
I think Mrs. Schwartz would care for a little more pie.
But there isn't. Would you care for more pie, Miss Schwartz?
Thank you.
My brother Felix and I used to grumble sometimes that we had to share the little food we had with outright strangers. But I know now that they weren't strangers at all. They were old friends. Hadn't they been introduced to us by our old friend, Hunger?
Rebecca Kohut smiled into Marilla's eyes. But Marilla's eyes were turned on herself with grief, and she didn't see her. And like a mother coaxing an ailing child back to health, Rebecca Kohut picked up her story.
"I made up my mind, Marilla, when I was young, that I would never be poor again. And above all, I would never marry a rabbi, because rabbis had little money, and what little they had, they gave away. Then, I was 24 at the time, I remember it well, I went to visit my cousins in New York, and I met a man called Alexander Kohut. I must have sounded very light-minded because I fell in love with him at once."
"I am very charmed to know you, Miss Bettelheim. Are you staying in New York long?"
"Oh, I'm here on a short visit, Dr. Kohut."
"I have not been here very long either."
"Oh, it's only an accident that I'm here at all."
"An accident?"
"I mean, I would never be here if it weren't for the rate war."
Please?
The railroads are fighting for each other's customers, Dr. Kohut. They've both reduced their rates so low now that it costs almost nothing to travel. Our whole family's taking trips this summer."
"Of course."
I've heard a great deal about you, Dr. Kohut."
"A great deal that is nice?"
"Oh, yes, indeed. My father told me all about the work you've been doing on the Talmud and ancient literature."
"I have heard about you, too, Miss Bettelheim."
"You have?"
"You forgot. Your father also came to visit because of the rate war."
"Yes, of course. Of course, you're here with your family, Dr. Kohut?"
"My three sons."
"Three sons? How nice."
"And five daughters."
"Oh, how nice."
"When you're young, you bargain with tomorrow. This I will have, this I won't have. This is not for me. Oh, but tomorrow's treasures are hidden from the eyes of today. At 17, I knew I would never marry a poor man, a rabbi, especially a widowed rabbi without money and with 8 children. And that which I had wanted least is what I loved most. My family's need of me. Each night, 8 children had to be tutored in English."
"Thank you."
"No, children, not thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you."
"Oh, yes, that's very good. Well, now let's get back to the presidency of the United States. Who was the first president?"
"George Washington."
"Oh. Washington.
Washington.
What? Wah.
Wah.
Washington.
Washington."
and 8 children had to be tutored in American customs.
Never, never, never. I will never go there again. Never.
Oh, Margaret, darling, don't be so upset. It's not as bad as all that.
As long as I live. Never, never.
Oh, but, Margaret, dear, I've already told you they didn't mean to hurt you. They liked you. Couldn't you see that they liked you?
I don't believe it. Even if all the family is invited there, even if George and Louis and Elizabeth and Helen and Valerie and Eugene and Gazelle and you and Father, even if you are all invited and you all go to visit them, I will. I will send word that I've had.
Oh, really, Margaret? Darling, you wouldn't want to be unkind to 2 lonely old people who never meant you any harm, would you? Mr. and Mrs. Handler are so lonely, Margaret, and they do so enjoy visitors.
I don't care. They laughed at me.
Oh, no, they didn't, dear. They weren't laughing at you. They were laughing.
Now you are laughing at me.
Oh, no. No, I'm not, dear. Not at you. I was just laughing at the look that came over Mrs. Handler's face when she saw you bowing from the waist.
I have seen many people bow from the waist. Father and... thousands of people.
Oh, I know, dear. Many people do it, but they're mostly men. And... well, I don't think Mrs. Handler was quite accustomed to seeing a little girl bow from the waist when she was introduced to her.
I only wanted to be polite.
Of course, darling, and I'm very glad you were. I wouldn't want you to be impolite ever, but you know, Margaret, manners are different in every country, and what might have been perfectly correct in Hungary might seem just a little strange here in America. Anyway, let's forget all about it and have some fun. Let's go out for a nice long walk in the park. I can finish dinner later. How would you like that?
I don't know.
Oh, we'll have a perfectly wonderful time, Margaret. Ah, oh, you see, isn't it beautiful out? Hurry, dear.
I'm coming, Mother. Oh, it is beautiful out, Mother.
Of course it is. Oh, there's Officer O'Reilly. Good afternoon, Officer O'Reilly. Say good afternoon to Officer O'Reilly, darling.
Good afternoon, Officer O'Reilly. Mother, he's laughing at me.
Margaret, dear...
yes, Mother.
Margaret, dear, it is not the custom in this particular neighborhood to bow to the ground when you meet Officer O'Reilly on the street. You merely say, good afternoon, and you continue calmly on your way. And 8 children tutored in American fashions.
Mother. Psst. Hey, Mother.
What? Oh, my goodness, George, you startled me.
Is Father around?
Well, your father's upstairs, George, working on his book. Would you like me to get him?
No. That would be terrible.
Terrible? What's happened, George? Is there something serious?
Yes.
Well, I'd better call Father.
No, that would just make it worse. He had better not know until it's done.
Until it's done?
I'll need your help, Mother.
My help. All right, George. What do you want me to do?
Buy a derby.
What?
For my bar mitzvah. Mother, I'm not going to stand up to the ceremony without a derby.
Oh, yes, of course, George, but if you want a derby, George, I don't see why your father can't come with us.
Have you forgotten the coat he bought me?
The coat?
It had a fur collar.
Well, it was warm.
He said it made me look like a prince.
It was quite beautiful, George.
He wanted me to wear it to school.
It would have been lovely school.
Except that it was green.
Yes, I will go with you, George, to buy your derby.
At Bloomingdale's.
What's that, George?
Well, I went into the subject of derby hats with my colleagues at school, Mother. The American-type derby can be had only at Bloomingdale's.
Alexander Kohut knew Hebrew, Hungarian, German, French, Italian, Latin, and Arabic. But his lectures had to be given in English.
Alexander?
Yes, Rebecca?
What is this word here? I can't quite make it out.
Where, dear? Oh, yes. My handwriting is atrocious. It is Wünschen. That means, how shall I say?
Oh, I know what it means, dear. I just couldn't make out the writing. I'll have the translation finished in a few minutes now.
You're very kind to us, my dear.
Oh, no. No, I'm not. I love working with you on your lectures, Alexander.
You have done a great deal for us, Rebecca. You have given the children understanding and love. And as for me, without you, Rebecca, I think I should have been lost completely.
Oh, no, Alexander. It was I who was lost until you found me. I never knew that until I could give myself to another's happiness, I could never be happy at all.
Carola sat listening to Rebecca Cohut. Twilight gathered in the corners and spilled like smoke upon the pictures on the walls. Marilla raised her eyes, and then she pointed to one.
That is my father.
And Marilla pointed to another.
That is my brother, Felix.
And Marilla said...
They're dead. They died.
And Marilla pointed to the picture of a tall and dark-eyed man.
That is my husband.
And Marilla cried...
But he, too, is dead.
My husband died when I was 32.
Then what was there left for you?
I had no time to ask. I had my children to work for.
And where are your children now?
No child can stay forever with his mother.
But when your children left you alone, what did you do then?
I worked for other mothers' children. There were some who were lonely and needed a friend, and some who were hungry.
Excuse me. Can you please tell me where I can find Mrs. Cohut? Mrs. Rebecca Cohut.
I am Mrs. Cohut. Oh, won't you sit down, my dear?
Thank you. Mrs. Cohut.
Yes, child.
Mrs. Cohut, I'm here because I came here because...
Come, child. Tell me how I can help you.
I would never have come here, Mrs. Cohut. I would never have come here to bother you. And I know you must have troubles of your own, and everybody's been coming to you, but the other girls, you helped them, Mrs. Cohut. You found jobs for them. I looked, Mrs. Cohut. Don't think I haven't looked.
I know you have, child.
I stood in line 6 hours this morning outside a restaurant. And signs said waitresses. Till a man came out and said for us to go home, the job was taken. He kept coming out and telling us to go home, the job was taken. But nobody would move, nobody. And I stayed too. Until they sent for the cops.
I know.
Oh, please, Mrs. Cohut.
Child, there isn't a factory in town now which doesn't throw me out when they see me at their door.
You found jobs for the others. I heard about it.
Yes, I know, but now they leave orders with the office boy. When Rebecca Cohut comes around, get her out. She's a pest. She wants jobs.
Mrs. Cohut, I gotta have work.
I'll try, child. There must be some place that hasn't thrown me out yet.
I know. I think I'll try the mayor's office.
Rebecca Cohut remembered and smiled. But Marilla said...
That was long ago.
That particular girl? Oh, I think she came to see me in 1904. Perhaps it was 1903. There have been so many things to do. So many people I don't always remember exactly.
But all those people are dead now. All the people you knew are gone and you're all alone. What is there for you now? What is stronger than death?
I heard about a young girl the other day. She wants to get married, but there are difficulties. I shall have to help her.
Have to help her?
Yes, child. I shall have to help her to find herself.
Marilla looked at the frosted hair, the head lowered with time. And then it seemed to Marilla that she heard the whisper of golden wings. Marilla had heard the answer.
Like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Professor Sholem Spiegel, Secretary of the Alexander Cohut Memorial Foundation and William Prager Professor of the Medieval Hebrew Literature at the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Professor Spiegel.
In a sequel to her autobiography, published but a year before her death, Rebecca Kohut cheerfully recommended meddling in other people's affairs. Meddling, for instance, in the life of an unemployed person to find him or her a job. I always try to get jobs for people, and I hope someone gives me a job in the hereafter. She wrote four books of memoirs, heartwarming human documents, chronicles of a dedicated worker in the front ranks of American Jewish womanhood. Zestfully, she pioneered in education and social work and communal service. By her example, discovering for countless women new roads to civic usefulness. A rebel she was, by necessity rather than inclination, to repair old wrongs and restore to new dignity the two victims of long prejudice, the woman and the Jew. But strife was not her element. She rejoiced most as a willing link in the chain of an ancient tradition, the basic inspiration of her life remaining reverence for Jewish scholarship. She readily admitted Alexander Kohut, while he was alive, had been her great calling, and she always felt proud that in the 7 years before he died, it was she who served Jacob, and not Jacob who served her. For a scar belongs not to his family alone, but to his people, to all people. How lovingly she wrote about the filial piety of George, the son of Alexander Kohut. And eagerly she helped him to establish a foundation bearing his father's name and devoted to the furtherance of original research and publications of notable books in Hebrew lore and literature. To the very end, she was the heart and soul of the Alexander Kohut Memorial Foundation and made provision that its work should go on even when she is gone. And wherever and as long as Jewish learning is cherished, the name of the Kohut, Rebecca's included, will be a benediction.
Thank you, Professor Spiegel. Our eternal light drama today, The Woman Rich in Time, was written by Sylvia Berger. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Momorsky. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. Bryna Rayburn was featured as Mrs. Kohut. Joan Alexander was Meddler. And Alexander Scorby was the narrator. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. To present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.